Have you ever prepared something for presenting to someone else? Maybe something as simple as you're going to sell a car, and you know you want to present it so that they get the best view of it, or maybe you've made something and you want to present it to someone as a gift, a quilt or a dress or a skirt or a baby doll or whatever. Or maybe you've got a paper that you've gotten together and prepared to turn in to your professor or your teacher at class or your supervisor, and you have to present it to them. Do you just take and whatever it is, just throw it all together and just lay it out there and hope for the best? Or do you take a little time? If you're going to sell your car and you want to try to get a good price for it, you take the time, you wash it, you clean it out, you even vacuum underneath the seats because you want it to look its best. That paper that you're going to turn in, you go back and you check it again and again. Maybe if you've got a sister that knows English, you give it to her and let her check it for you before you go and present it, because you want to put forth the best, right? Well, in the book of Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul tells us, as he writes to the brethren there in Rome and speaks to them, he says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship or your spiritual service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Paul told the Roman brethren, and by extension, as this was preserved as the Word of God inspired by the Spirit, tells us that we need to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. But he didn't stop there. He said they need our bodies, our self needs to be presented to God as a holy and acceptable sacrifice, which is our spiritual service, or which is expected of us in our worship. We need to be presented to God. Now, each one of us that is here this evening have given our life to the Lord. We determined many years ago, some many decades ago, maybe we might could even say, that they were going to give themselves to God and took the steps to cleanse themselves of sins. But Paul is speaking to those who are already Christians when he writes in this letter. He's not writing Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, to new converts, or to people who have not yet obeyed the gospel. He's writing this letter to those who are Christians. And he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice in a present tense. He doesn't say you presented. He said you present. And while I'm no Greek scholar and didn't go do a whole lot of research, I'm confident that the idea behind here is that we are to always present. It may even be one of those present continuing tenses of the verb. It is a constant practice of presenting ourselves to God. And oftentimes when we read this, we emphasize that living sacrifice, but I want us to look at the holy and acceptable. What makes us holy and acceptable? Well, when you were preparing that car to be sold, what made it acceptable, what made it presentable, was you spent some time cleaning it up, getting rid of all the bad spots and all the dirt and the grime and such that was there. That paper that you might have been getting ready, you went through and pulled out all the bad English and all the misspellings and mistakes and all of that and fixed them. That's what makes us holy and acceptable in the sight of God. We get rid of those things that are wrong. And what that, the term that is used to describe that, term that we don't think about a lot, but the term consecrated. Consecrated. Prepared and set apart for God. Made holy by setting it apart, by the cleansing and preparation. The garments that Aaron and the priest wore were consecrated by following the process that God gave, both in making them and then cleansing them before they put them on. Aaron and his sons themselves were consecrated to the service of the priesthood through the cleansings and the sacrifices that were offered. And we need to recognize that when Paul tells us to present ourselves to God, holy and acceptable, that we need to be consecrated. God requires consecration of those who are going to be His servants. If we're going to be in the presence of God, if we're going to dwell with God, we must be consecrated, set apart specifically for His work. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." In other words, in order for us to be holy and acceptable unto God, we've got to get everything that's not godly out of our lives. We've got to separate ourselves from all things that are not godly. While I was studying and going and thinking about, talking about this in Bible class this morning, about the godliness we talked about there in 1 Timothy, I couldn't help but be reminded of the things I had seen in these passages as we talked about, as I studied and prepared to talk about this idea of consecration. We've got to separate ourselves. We've got to give God all of our heart. All of our love has got to be focused on God. Our feelings, our emotions must be rooted and controlled by our relationship with God. Paul told the Colossian brethren, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above and not on things that are on the earth. Peter said in 1 Peter 3, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you're slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame." What? Honor Christ in your hearts as Lord. Separate out yourself from the world and focus on holy and righteous things. Be godly in all parts of our life, with all the purpose of our heart and our soul and our mind. Whoever would save his life, as we talked about this morning, will lose it. But the one who will lose his life for my sake will find it. You know, we go there in Matthew chapter 16, verse 25 and 26, and we quote those verses, and we read, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul or in return for his soul?" But the first part of that maybe has a little more application to us as children of God. Are we willing to give our life to the Lord? Or are we focused on saving our life? If we are Christians as we ought to be, if we are presenting ourselves holy and acceptable unto God, we've given ourselves up. We've sacrificed our life into the service of God. And God requires us to do such. If we're going to be in the presence of God, we must separate ourselves from all things that are ungodly. And we must put our entire focus on being with Him and serving Him and living in accordance with His will. We've looked in the past at the passages I have in Psalms. In Psalms chapter 1, the beginning psalm, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does he meditate both day and night." This man is the one who is like a tree that's planted by streams of waters that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Why? Because his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does meditate day and night. Have you given your body, your mind, your heart, your soul to God? If so, then you're thinking on his word. Not just now. Not just on your way home from services. But throughout your day. Throughout the night. You're meditating and dwelling on the word of God. You're looking at everything in your life. Every decision you make in light of the word of God. Every action you take in light of the word of God. God requires us to consecrate ourselves in such a manner, to set ourselves apart for his exclusive use. That the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. God requires us to be consecrated. That's why Paul says we need to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We need to separate ourselves from the things of the world. I know there are a lot of things in this world that we have to deal with. We have to consider and think about and dwell on from time to time. But we must do those things in light of the Word of God and our service to Him. No matter what's going on in life, how does my devotion to God affect what I'm going to do here? Does it change my action? Does it inhibit me from acting? And for each one of us here this evening, does it mean that I need to change some of my action because it is not set apart for the service of God? Where's our heart? Where's our soul? If we are presenting ourselves to God, then we are consecrated as God has required us to. And certainly we understand, or at least we need to understand, that God can require this consecration, not because we deserve it, but because He deserves it. He's deserving of such setting apart. Another word that we might use when we talk about this is the word sanctification. We've already used the word holy. Holy, sanctified, and consecrated all go together in talking about the kind of attitude we ought to have. And it is deserved by God. Why? Well, first and foremost, because He made the world and everything in it. He's Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he had need of anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. The words of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 17. Why does he deserve this consecration, this kind of devotion? Because without him we wouldn't be here. We looked this morning at beginnings and we read from Genesis chapter 2. Both the creation of man and all of the world and then all of the things that came after that that led to who we are and what we have today are a result of God and His creation. Are we living as if we believe He deserves that kind of devotion? Are we separate and apart from the world in which we live? Because we belong to the Creator and we want to please Him, we want to satisfy Him, we want to give to Him that which He expects of us. He deserves it. He loved the world so much that He gave His only Son so that those that believe in Him would not perish but would have eternal life. He gave His Son. Sent Him down from heaven to live on earth as a man, to die on the cross, to be raised again. Why? Because He loved us. And He wanted us to be able to come back to Him, even though we were the ones that left Him. He deserves such setting apart, such changes in those who claim to be His. He deserves our honor, our praise, our consecration. Paul told the Roman brethren in Romans 5, verse 7 and 8, one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And once again, not only were we still sinners when Christ died, we were sinners because of our own action. We were separated from God because of what we did, not because of what God did. That's how much He loved us. He gave us the means by which we can return. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 through 10 says, though He was a son, He learned obedience through what He suffered. Being made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey Him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. God gave us the means to come back to Him. So He deserves less than our best. We should give Him just whatever we have left over. He'll be satisfied with us just, oh, I'll love you, God, two or three times a week. But don't ask me to give too much. Paul said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Transform yourself by the renewing of your mind to leave the world and focus on God. Not only has He provided our way of escape, but He's also, from sin, He's also given us the way to overcome our temptations. Paul told the Corinthian brethren that there wasn't any temptation that they might fall into that was not common to all, and that God would provide a way for them to escape. And we rely on that verse a lot. But do we fully comprehend what God has done for us? And when we do fully comprehend that, do we take the proper action to honor Him for it? Do we devote ourselves to Him and Him alone? Or do we devote ourselves to Him on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and most of the rest of the week we got other things that we can take care of? Maybe if we get a free moment, we'll stop and read a little bit from the Word of God. And if somebody comes up and keeps bugging us about what we believe, we'll finally talk to them a little bit about it. Is that set apart? Is that consecrated? Is that set apart for the use of God? Paul said, present yourself to God, holy and acceptable. Consecrate yourself. Change yourself. Why? Because it is deserved by God. Because He is God. But I have yet to talk to many people on the face of the earth about something they need to do that they didn't ask, well, what am I going to get out of it? And while I'm convinced that once we truly understand what's going on and who we're talking about and how we've set ourselves apart to God, it's not really going to matter because we're giving ourselves back to God. But there are benefits for us. The Scripture talks about the benefits we have by setting ourselves apart for the use of God. Paul talks about it here in Romans chapter 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. By setting ourselves apart to the service of God, by giving our bodies a living sacrifice, we can find out what's good and acceptable and perfect. We can come to know those things that are precious and those things that really matter. in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire, sinful lust. Two things stand out to me that are a benefit to us there. God's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. All the blessings, all the wonderful things, all the beauty, all the strength and stamina that we have are from God. But more important than that, by setting ourselves apart and consecrating ourselves to serve the Lord and focusing ourselves on gleaning His knowledge and making it a part of who we are, and drawing ourselves closer and closer into His glory and excellence, we receive the benefit of the promises. We escape from the corruption that is in the world. And we partake of the divine nature. Now, some of that may not come until this life is over with. But I'm convinced that if we truly devote ourselves to the Lord, we consecrate ourselves to His service and give our bodies to be His sacrifice, to live for Him, we'll see blessings of the divine nature and of the separation from the wickedness and terribleness of this world in our own lives today. God will bless us and care for us. He will watch over us and protect us. We're promised through Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, if nothing else, if we devote ourselves solely to serving God, we'll have all the things we need in order to survive in this world while we're doing that. If we can find a way to reach godliness with contentment, God will take care of us. Was it the prophet said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread? God will care for His own. It will also push us to do our best. If we truly accept this challenge to consecrate ourselves and give ourselves wholly over to God, it will push us to excel. Certainly, we look at passages like John 14:15 and John 15:14. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you're my friends, if you do what I command you. But also consider 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. Why? Because the seed of God is in our heart. Because we've set ourselves apart to serve the Lord. And we can rise above the sinful things of this world. We can keep ourselves out of some of the problems that we find ourselves caught in when we put our focus on serving God. Imagine the drama that you would no longer be exposed to if instead of watching the news every night and reading the statuses and updates on Facebook or wherever, Twitter, wherever you happen to be every night, you spend a little more time reading from the Word of God. And anybody that spent much time reading the complaints and rantings of various ones who may even be your friends sometimes, recognize the futility of some of those things and how easy it is to be drawn into them if we're not careful. But if our minds are focused on God, if we're spending our time reading from the Word of God, we're meditating on the Word of God, we have less time for those things. So if nothing else, the more we focus on God, the less of the wickedness of the world we're exposed to. Somebody's going to leave and say, Dan said, don't go on Facebook. I did not say that. You can go look at your grandchildren's pictures. But don't get caught up in all the things that are going on there, because we need to be focused on spiritual things. We need to be thinking about God and His Word. It brings us above those things. We're no longer troubled with them. We can begin to have less worry in our lives. Because why? We're worried, or we're concerned, we're focused on eternity, not here. And so, the things that are going on in this world don't have as much of an effect on us, other than as they might keep us or hinder us in serving God. Then we might get some trouble. We might be troubled about that. But the more we focus on God, the less even that's going to trouble us, because we realize that when we put our focus on God, even if we lose our life, we win. Putting our focus and separating ourselves apart for the service of God draws us above and protects us from the world. Got John 1 John 2:15-17, a passage we're all familiar with. Do not love the world or the things in the world. The one that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away in its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. You want to live forever? And focus on serving God. Stay away from the world. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3. Or as James said, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Flee from Satan. Put away the superfluity of naughtiness. I love that phrase. The superfluity of naughtiness. Put it away from us. Put it behind us. Rise above it by putting our focus on God. One of the things that I hope that you have already noticed as we've looked at several of these passages and talked about these things in regards to needing to consecrate ourselves and set ourselves apart for the service unto God, is that this idea of consecration puts our focus on Christ. It puts the central part of our being on the Lord, who is our Savior. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of, in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Or I presented my body as a living sacrifice, acceptable and holy unto God, which is my expected service of worship." And we are consecrated. We alluded to this and talked about this as we've looked at some of these things. If we are consecrated, if we are focused on God, even in death, we find gain. We win. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear hurt and harm. We don't have to worry about the one who can take our body. Because we've already satisfied and we're doing everything we can within our hearts and our minds and our souls to please the one who's going to take care of our soul and body for all eternity. I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their deeds follow them." Paul told the Corinthians, "Yes, we are of a good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." Think about that for a moment. Have you set yourself apart for the service of God to such a degree that you have confidence that if your life were to end tonight, you would go to be with the Lord? That's what God requires. That's what God deserves. And that's what we must do. If we want to be transformed from this world, if we want to be partakers of the divine nature, if we want to receive the benefits of salvation through Jesus Christ, we need to do much more than just confess Him and say, I love you, Jesus, and I want to give you my life, and then be buried in baptism for the remission of our sins. We need to really give Him our life. We need to set ourselves apart for spiritual service every day, every hour, every minute. Needs to belong to God. We don't separate ourselves and pull ourselves out and wait in the world like some hermit. But we put our focus on serving God in every aspect of our life. How do I do this and please God? What does God want me to do in this situation? How does my knowledge and understanding of the Word of God guide me in making this decision? Am I spending enough time for not? Am I going to spend way too much time for me? When we start spending time for me, we start spending time for the world instead of time for God, we no longer sacrifice our lives to the Lord. We no longer concentrate and set apart. Shortly after Aaron was set apart to be the high priest for the nation of Israel, he lost his two sons because of their wickedness, because they disobeyed God. And he was given strict instruction. You cannot mourn your sons because you are mine. You've been set apart. And he couldn't leave that aside from the things of the Lord. Sin is affected by. We can't set God aside to turn the things of the world. If you look this evening, you can find in some way you've set God aside. It's time to come back to Him. It's time to put your life back in His hands. Give your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. Turn this and assist you in getting things right with the Lord. Opportunity is yours. Come always stand and sing.